Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
I think 29 states are in that ball game, not open, not for opening, but I think they'll be able to open relatively soon. I think the remainder are just getting better.
All right, the president talks about three phases in reopening the country, but he basically says you call the shots, and he leaves it up to the states and their governors to make some of those big decisions. In the meantime, virus outbreaks are closing meat processing plants, so there's a lot of beef shortfalls that are being predicted. Have you gone to your supermarket lately? And then the NFL says, its commissioner, that in May we're releasing a schedule, and we expect with high hopes that the NFL will go on, while the top doctor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says it's going to be the last phase before you have a lot of people in big groups, like at sporting events. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, how is it in your little corner of the world? And it might not be so little, depending on where you live. But if you're in Virginia, you are feeling it, because now you're talking about an incredible amount of cases, known coronavirus cases in the district, Maryland, and Virginia, top 20,000 plus on Thursday. And then if you broke that down to what's happened in Virginia and Maryland and in the District of Columbia, it really is pretty crushing. So Virginia's shutdown of non-essential businesses is extended until May 8th, as you can expect, with over 14,000, really almost 15,000 deaths in New York City. The governor there, Governor Andrew Cuomo, says it's May 15th for them. So it's the governors making some of these decisions. And because of that, there have been some protests as to when are we going to open up in places like Michigan and places like Ohio, where people who are working people want to get back to the business of going to a job. So protests are happening, concerns over are more cases going to flare up, and of course, the thing that we all really want to see is the antibody test, a vaccine, and everything in between that can get anybody healthy who gets nailed with COVID-19. That's what we're all waiting for. And when you look at the numbers, and, you know, the numbers in the U.S. are this, the number of people who have died, 33,286. That's how many at this point. At least 671,000 cases have been reported. Did you ever think it would get that high? Remember the estimates of how many total could die in the early stages, especially. The talk was 100,000 to 250,000. Then models lowered what the guesstimate would be based on social distancing and people staying at home and crushing the curve. But 33,286 people in the United States of America dead from a virus. Wow. I never thought that I'd be in the middle of a pandemic, but I've talked about this before. My great-grandmother was in the last one, and she died. She got the Spanish flu and died when that pandemic hit the United States in the Philadelphia area. It was particularly deadly, and that's where she was. So Andrew Cuomo knows he has a monster on his hand, a devil, whatever you want to call it, with 14,832 people gone, and that's since March 14th. So wrap your brain around that, where we're sitting here on the 17th of April. And, of course, New York is a populous state. They lead the country in deaths per 100,000 residents. I don't know that that's a shocker. And there are other states hit pretty hard. Louisiana is one of them. They've got a shortfall of ventilators and PPE, protective equipment for the healthcare workers. There's some big concerns there. And back in February, were we paying attention? And certainly on this show, lots of you called, sent me emails about what was going on in Washington State, in King County, and the fact that you had that facility for the nursing homes and facilities for older people, sicker people, where too many died. And most deaths worldwide, by the way, have happened among people older than 50 and those with underlying health problems, because they're the most vulnerable to respiratory disease, and that's the thing that takes hold, which then sends some people into the hospitals for oxygen and ventilators when they have to be intubated, which is just the scariest thing to even hear that and then listen to some of the stories. I think this is scary as well, so what's the next shortage? And think of the meat industry. Before the coronavirus hit, about 660,000 beef cattle were processed every week. Did you know that? Across these United States. And now there's probably going to be around, they say, 500,000 head processed at U.S. plants still in operations. So that's 25% less beef being produced. Part of the slowdown is two of the seven largest facilities in the United States to process beef cattle are closed because of the pandemic. You've got fewer employees, absenteeism among the remaining employees, social distancing, slowing things down, and you had, you know, plants that have had to close. JBS USA closed in PA April 7th, and then they had to shut down their Greeley, Colorado place, a beef facility, because 50 of their 6,000 plant employees tested positive. And what are they going to do? You can't have that. You can't process the beef in that scenario. And then there's other places announcing it. People are listening to us in Iowa. National Beef Packing Company announced the closure of their Tama, Iowa facility, and Cargill had to stop their production in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and they've got a big operation, ground beef, pork processing plant there. And we're seeing this, like the dominoes are falling when it comes to the meat supply chain. And, of course, one of the biggest was Smithfield in South Dakota, because their pork processing plant was closed indefinitely. And that started to set off the alarm bells, I think, for some people that, oh, this is a lot worse, and they don't have enough people to process the animals in so many of the other places, and they can't do the carcass balance because the restaurants are down, so they have problems with that, because restaurants, if you think about, if you're a meat eater, you have strip steak and ribs and tenderloins and sirloin, and of course retail has the chucks and the rounds and the trims, as they say. I had a friend that had a cattle ranch, and, you know, 23% of whatever the animal isn't being bought because food service is gone. So that's what it is. It's those things that happen as we watch the economy fall that you're not even necessarily thinking about, and then you say, of course, oh, yeah, that's what it is. And so much of that is going on. All right, how about this? Navy Captain Brett Crozier's message to his fleet and then to others off the Theodore Roosevelt, the USS Theodore Roosevelt, was a huge moment for the Navy. But there are people that are calling for his reinstatement, the skipper who came down with COVID-19 himself. What's the latest on that? A few tidbits next.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
So when we look at numbers in this version of We Can Count, I was talking about it in our previous segment that I would bounce into a couple of these numbers. There's a lot of conversation about the Navy and reinstating the fired captain to command the Roosevelt. Will he be reinstated or not? And how about that? Because they're tracing back how many sailors got sick, what initially was said about that, and the defense secretary is saying, there's the captain who was concerned about the coronavirus was protecting the guys on his ship. And remember, he was relieved of his command because he raised those concerns. And now they're doing this investigation and they're reviewing the findings and they're looking at the chain of command and all of that. And they're looking at it one step at a time. He lost command on April 2nd because of the strongly worded letter to Navy leadership detailing the concern about the spread of the virus on the aircraft carrier. And then the letter was leaked to the media, and then that was when all hell broke loose and his job also broke loose. And then he ended up with COVID-19 too. So now there is discussion about the possibility of reinstating him. And I think by what I've read, bravo to the Navy if they do this and that they tie up these loose ends and this saga could end in his reinstatement. The morale would be lifted to the umpth degree. So we couldn't even count at how high that would go. I think that would be a smart move by all accounts, by everything that I've been able to glean in my connections to the Pentagon and others involved in the Navy. If there's any branch of the military, certainly I've had a lot of family members who have served. My husband was on an aircraft carrier. But just regardless of that, knowing people that are a little deeper into this, the thought is if there is a scenario where that can happen and they look at the chain of command and protocols and all of that, there is a real possibility. This is one of the saddest stories that you can possibly imagine. Police finding 18 bodies in a makeshift facility in New Jersey at a nursing home. Why? Because they didn't have room for a lot of bodies, but they had a lot of dead people. I mean, frankly, that's how it is. They found 5 bodies on Easter Sunday after getting tips, and then they found 13 on Monday in a holding area. They got a call about a body stored in a shed at the Andover Rehab care facility 1 and 2, and how awful is that? 35 people have died at that home. They have 2 separate buildings, and that's since the end of March. 19 linked to COVID-19, and of course it's home to the state's largest long-term care facility, 700 beds, and more than 500 people live there. You know, the governor was even choked up by this, and of course saying he was heartbroken about the reports of deaths at that place and outraged that bodies of the dead were piling up in a makeshift spot. Asked the attorney general to look at it, he said, you know, it shakes you to your bones, and I think it does, because I think of older people, think of them in your life, and imagine if that were someone that you loved. And I'm sure part of what the discussion is what do? We had no place to put them. Well, you got to make some phone calls. You got to figure out something else. I mean, we're in the middle of a crisis. I get it. But you can't be storing a body in a shed. Wow. Land O'Lakes. Do you pass it? Do you eat it? You know, I'm talking about the butter when you're in the, when we used to go to the supermarkets without a mask. They are saying bye-bye to the American Indian woman's illustration that was been on the package since 1928. And it's not there's no specific American Indian tribe or whatever, but it's, you've got a woman kneeling with her hair, a feather in her hair, and instead they're going to replace it with a phase, farmer owned above the brand mark. And since 1921, below, that's amazing, 1921, because they're celebrating their 100th anniversary, so they decided that they were going to make a change there. That's a big branding change. I can even remember, in my head, I can think of the packaging because I can remember running to the store and getting it for my grandmother. She was very specific about the kind of butter that she wanted, and I remember having to go and and get that. All right, the big story, of course, is the president outlining what the plan is to reopen the economy, the guidelines for states to start doing that, because, of course, they've largely been shut down by the pandemic. The Opening Up America Again plan is what they're calling it. It has 3 phases. It gives governors the authority to make decisions about how their states move forward in the coming weeks and months. So blame it on the gov if you don't like it, because that's really the way they're looking at it. The Labor Department says more than 5 million new unemployment claims and a stimulus plan to help small businesses are out of cash on Thursday. So we are staggering our economy. It's unthinkable under weeks of severe coronavirus restrictions. And we saw U.S. deaths spike to a daily high of almost 2,500. But what does the impact of all this mean? I mean, more than 33,000 people dead, and looking at the statistics, and the unemployment rate surging to nearly 16% by July is what they're saying. You think 16%? You know, that's higher than any point since the Great Depression, rather, higher than any point, which is crazy if you think about that. So opening up of America again, and what are the social distance guidelines that are going to be set by the White House task force at the end. They'll end May 1st. That's what they're saying, and it involves the three phases. And they wouldn't start until states had 14 consecutive days of decreases in the coronavirus cases and had testing and hospital capacity to deal with potential spikes. So that's pretty much it. The three phases are about no spikes, you're going in the opposite direction, we can see it happening, and you make the call as to when that is. And they're saying movie theaters would be allowed to reopen in the first of the three phases, when theaters, along with restaurants and sports stadiums and churches, will be allowed to welcome people back as a big deal. And they're leaving that up to whoever the governor is of the particular state, where they can consider, is that what they want to do? Does that make sense? I mentioned that the Paycheck Protection Program ran out of money. It launched with $349 billion, and it was set up to help small businesses from having to shut down and get rid of their employees or have them go on unemployment. It just ran dry in less than 2 weeks, because that's how bad it is. The Treasury Department says by law they're not going to be able to issue new loan approvals for small businesses because of the lapse. So that puts a pause on the program that's already approved more than 1.6 million applications for employers. U.S. stocks slightly higher. Want some good news? There are some numbers that are good. The Dow Jones average rising 33.13 points, so a little bit of an increase. The S&P 500 improved a tad as well, 0.58%. And that comes after last month's retail sales plunged by 8.7%, and factory output fell at the fastest rate for March since 1946. Oh, so sad. And those numbers, most of these numbers that we're talking about are ugly. But there is encouraging news out of New York, as we talk about the fact that the numbers are sad, or where you have almost 15,000 people dead. The New York governor did say there's been a marked drop in COVID-19 deaths, and that the stay-at-home policy continues until next month, and this is a good thing, and that people wearing masks, they have to do it subways, buses, trains, and taxis. 606 people died overnight compared to the last couple of days, where you had 778 and 752, and he believes the policy of closing businesses and staying at home is really, really working. So that's extended until at least May 15th. And, of course, the governor is fielding some nasty phone calls, people who are not happy about a couple of things, including the mandated use of face masks starting this week is when that all kicked in. They're not happy that they have to wear the face masks. Well, can they get the face masks? Although more people are certainly producing them, right? All right, the music means that I got to dance on off this floor. Stay with us, though, and I will meet you, I promise, on the other side of this.
This is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Governors working together to reopen our country. The governors of Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin announcing a plan to work together to reopen portions of the states. The governors agree the reopening will be contingent on the number of new coronavirus cases. Now, in a joint statement, these governors say things will not open all at once, but in phases depending on conditions. The governors of hotspots New York and New Jersey and four other states will also work to reopen once the coronavirus outbreak subsides. President Trump telling reporters at the daily White House coronavirus briefing,
"We're going to see that everything is working out smoothly. We're in very strong communication with the governors. We're going to be helping with testing. They're going to be doing the testing. It's got to be a localized thing, and it really has been since I've been involved."
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more. Michael's naturopathic programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. Visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaelshealth.com. michaelshealth.com.
Get a special discount when you input the code Pastor Greg. That's Pastor Greg for your special discount.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
This next guest is going to blow your mind, seriously. I've talked to her a couple of times off the air, and she's our guest in Author's Corner. She's written a book called 50 Excuses Not to Do Bulletproof Estate Planning. And the second I got off the phone with her, this is behind the scenes, I ran to look at what have I planned and where are the holes. So you want to get a pen and paper, and then you want to get Elaine's book. Elaine, thank you so much for popping on the show.
Thank you, and good morning to you, Kate.
So 50 Excuses Not to Do Bulletproof Estate Planning. I mean, I know this is the area that you practice in, but what made you decide, you know what, I got to put this together? Is it because a lot of us just don't know what estate planning is and we have a bias kind of in our mind as to what we think it is?
Well, the reason why I wrote the book, Kate, is because I have been practicing as an estate planning attorney for, at that time, 25 years. It's now been 27 years. And through the course of that duration, I've had multiple clients give me every excuse you can imagine to explain why they can't do it right now, they need to do it later, so on and so forth. Essentially, the three biggest excuses I've ever gotten were, number one being, I can't afford it, which is obviously not true, and I'll explain in a minute, and I don't have an estate, which is also not true, and I'm not old enough. So those are some of the reasons, and if you'd like, I'd be happy to go into that.
Yeah, so how old do you have to be to do estate planning, and why do you have to do it at that age?
Well, the misconception assumption is that we need to be older in order to do an estate plan, and that, in fact, isn't true. I've written my book to impress upon everybody who is unaware that basically after the age of 18, you need some sort of an estate plan. And those three components that you need are basically a will that says I give everything to mom or dad or brother and sister or your friend or whomever, and a health care directive and a financial directive. And the reason I say that is because if you are 18 years old or older and you become incapacitated, mom and dad can't make decisions for you. Your friends can't make decisions for you because you're an adult. So if you lose capacity, the next place you have to go in order to have somebody be able to help you is the probate court.
Yeah, so it's interesting because the other part of, and on your book you have this as part of the title, the subtitle, the 50 excuses not, and that's in parentheses, to do bulletproof estate planning, excuses that just might cost you everything. And there you're saying that it just could cost you everything, right?
And that's exactly true. And that's another big misconception about estate planning. A lot of people think that they don't have an estate, therefore they don't need to do estate planning. But the one bigger reason why I wrote my book based upon a situation I had with a former client is that we need to have an estate plan put together well in advance when we have capacity. And the reason we need to do that is so that if at some point down the road your capacity begins to wane or somebody has a question about your capacity, they can't petition the probate court to then get in control of you in the form of a conservatorship. So, for example, they could say, hey, you know, I think Kate's not thinking clearly anymore. And if Kate doesn't have an estate plan, then they could petition the court and they could be successful to impress upon the court that you need assistance. And then the court can award them to get in control of you. When somebody becomes your conservator, then they can make your decisions for health care. They can make your decisions for finances. And they can even tell you when and where you can sit. And the biggest thing that blows my mind is they can also get authority to rewrite or create an estate plan for you that may not even be what you would wanted it to have said. So having an estate plan really is your biggest protection from having an unwanted conservatorship, and that's something that most people have no clue about.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I have to ask you this question because you're so schooled in this and have had such a great career. You mentioned that all the years of doing it for 27 years. What was the craziest experience you had to go through with doing some estate planning? Like, did somebody have something wild that they wanted to protect, but thank goodness they did?
Well, here's the craziest thing, and really it's the impetus why I wrote my book. Several years ago, I had a client who did her estate plan, and she had a relative come out of nowhere and decide to rewrite her estate plan for her. She got really upset at her brother for taking her attorney to do that, so she went back to the attorney, undid everything he did, and then in the process of that, the attorney never questioned her capacity. So obviously she was competent at the time when she redid her estate plan for the second time to undo what the brother did. Then at a later point down the road, several people began to question her capacity because she was at the very beginning stages of Alzheimer's, and that doesn't necessarily mean you don't have a legal capacity to be able to create a trust or a will, especially here in California. But Adult Protective Services got wind of the fact that she was wanting to change her estate plan, and the thing that really got me was that there was a particular individual, a private fiduciary, who got wind of this and found out about her and petitioned the court to be made her conservator. And because she didn't have any family members around her to protect her or to protest that, he ended up becoming her conservator. And it was really unfortunate because the woman really wasn't incapacitated. She could understand you. She could make her legal decisions. She could decide when and where she wanted to sit or go. She could write her own checks. But this fiduciary managed to become her conservator, and as a result, he took over the entire estate, drained most of it, and redid her estate plan. And when I realized that's what happened, I became so angered because the point of estate planning is to protect you from that. But the other thing is, Kate, this could happen to you or me.
Right.
So knowing that, it became my passion to get the word out to people that estate planning is so much more than just creating a simple will or a trust because you want your things to go to your kids. We want a good estate plan, a bulletproof estate plan to protect you so you can keep making your own decisions during your lifetime. That's why I wrote the book.
Well, it's interesting, and you have such a breath of experience, a fresh breath of, you know, that's what I'm saying, somebody different talking about this. And you have a background that also includes the fact that you were a JAG officer besides that. So you also have the military twist to it as well. So you've made some really interesting leaps in your career, huh?
That's correct. Yes, many, many, many years ago, I decided to join the Army Reserves, and I initially started out in psychological operations, but I ended up in the JAG Corps after I went to law school. The last 7 years of my Army career, my 23 career, was in the JAG Corps, so I retired as a lieutenant colonel in the JAG Corps in the Army Reserves. And really what that has done for me is to instill in me honesty, loyalty, integrity. You know, when I have a client come into my office, it's not about making money. It's about, if that were me, what would I want to have done to protect that person? Which is why I'm so passionate, because that could be my mom or my dad in front of me. So when people come into my office, I don't nickel and dime them with billable hours, which a lot of attorneys do. It's a flat fee to come in and get your estate planning done, because after all, that's how I want to be treated. Right.
Yeah, well, I love that. Yeah, the golden rule. Because, of course, you know, there's this, how many lawyer jokes are there? You know them, Elaine, right?
Oh, my God. I know. We're the brunt of it all.
You are the brunt of it all. You're right. So we want to make sure we tell everyone you can get this on Amazon.com. And, again, we're speaking with Elaine Andrews, 50 Excuses Not to Do Bulletproof. That's a joke. Estate planning, excuses that might just cost you everything. And that's what's so scary, to think of what that could cost you. And I'm sure, I mean, that's what happens. It's like you told us the story. You have somebody, they come in and they're just distraught. They can't believe what's happened. And the law is the law, and you know there's not a lot of gray area, and you got to find it, and it can get tricky, right?
Right. And there's one more very important point that I talk about in the book, Kate, that you don't really get from the cover, but
sure.
A very important thing that people need to know also when they are considering estate planning is, unlike doctors, there are different types of lawyers. There are lawyers, obviously, who specialize in different fields of law, like immigration versus personal injury versus estate planning. But there's also different degrees of lawyers. So, for example, when you go to the doctor and you need neurosurgery, you know that your doctor has gone to special education to be able to be qualified as a neurosurgeon. That's not necessarily true for attorneys. Here in California, you can say that you practice estate planning, and you really don't know what you're doing. In fact, the state bar doesn't require that you become a certified specialist in estate planning before you are treating a client or you are dealing with a client. All the state bar requires is that you either bone up with another attorney who does know what they're doing, or you learn how to do it prior to meeting that client. And to me, that's really shocking, because most lay people don't understand that their attorney may not really know what they're doing. So to help them, the state bar has certified specialists in different areas of law, and estate planning is one of them, where an attorney not only takes the bar exam to become an attorney, but they take a second bar exam to become vetted, to become certified in this particular area of law. And so the important distinction is that individuals who are looking to get estate planning done, you want to look for somebody who is a certified specialist or a vetted expert in that area of law. And the reason for that is not because it's going to cost you more money, and it may well do, but because you want to make sure that your attorney knows what they're doing. A lot of times, I've helped other clients come in where they had work done from somebody else, maybe a friend who does a different line of work, like a corporate attorney or whatever, who doesn't specialize in their area, and I'm fixing the mistakes.
Yes.
But the person doesn't know that their estate plan is faulty. And
right.
When you need your
mistakes.
Estate plan to work for you, that's too late to find out it's not working.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. Pick up the book, 50 Excuses Not to Do Bulletproof Estate Planning, Excuses That Might Just Cost You Everything. Elaine Andrews, thank you so much.
And you're very welcome, Kate. We'll be right back.
crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Love a good mystery, and we're going to introduce you in our author's corner to Keith McNair. He's written a book, a novel called Dust to Dust. Hey, Keith, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Kate, how are you? Good morning to everyone on the radio and listening.
And so, mysteries. You and I talked off the air about mysteries. What attracted you to writing a mystery?
Well, I've always read in the past a lot of mysteries, and for some reason I've been drawn to mysteries. I like the excitement and the challenge of a mystery, trying to figure out the tail end of the story. And, you know, I figured, you know, just something I would, you know, like to do.
You know, it's interesting you say you like to figure out mysteries. I do, too, but you know what, Keith, I have to confess, and to everybody listening, I'm terrible at figuring out mysteries. I'm like the un-Columbo. Remember Columbo, the television series?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's just the burden of proof kind of thing, yes.
Exactly. So let's talk about your book. And if you and I met and we were on the train together and we were riding on the train, and we're going to talk about the significance of that in a second, and you said, I'm writing, and I said, well, what are you writing? I see you every day. What would you tell me Dust to Dust is about?
Well, basically, Dust to Dust takes place in New York City, and the novel speaks to the upside and the downside of life in New York City. From the very beginning, I've attempted to pull the characters into the story and to pique their interest as to what would happen next. Dust to Dust is really a compelling story which tells this tale of good and evil, good versus evil, actually, and the worst that mankind may have to offer to each other. It's a classic tale of good versus evil, if you will. The storyline has its rough and edgy when necessary, and soft and emotional where the situation calls for it. In writing the story, I basically wanted to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and at the same time keeping the reader's interest going along with the storyline. I guess from my personal experience, readers are most, I guess if they're much like me, the first, I'd say the first 15 to 20 pages or even 30 pages has to draw the reader in, or otherwise they'll lose interest. So, that's pretty much how I like to, how I would approach the story.
Yeah, I like the way you said that, because you're right, beginning, middle, and end, and sometimes people get lost in all of that, and in the beginning you have to hook them in and keep them wanting to read more. And you know about that because you certainly, besides writing, obviously you were also a big reader, and when we talked, you worked on the stock exchange, and you made a commute from Long Island. For people who, there's people listening in New York, but there's people listening outside of New York, how long is that commute into the city to the stock exchange and back?
Basically, from door to door, it can run anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending upon, how the trains and, run and the time I get there. So basically, I use that time to, write my book. It was written pretty much on the subway, going back and forth from Long Island, New York, to Manhattan's financial district.
I love that. So it would be longhand, right? You had to do longhand.
I definitely had to do longhand, which was, really, I had to really basically train myself to type the words out of my head. It was easier. The words would flow much easier when I was on the train and writing longhand. I had anywhere from 15 to 20 legal pads with writing in pencil. But that became a hindrance because sometimes the words would get smudged, and then I would forget what I wrote. I would have to either change the scene or, figure out some kind of way, or change the scene totally and then figure out where I wanted to pick up again. So it was a hard lesson to learn, but in the long run, being able to training myself to type, it saved a lot of time.
Yeah, no kidding. Boy, I love that you smudged words and you had to figure out, oh, geez, maybe I've got to change that because I can't remember what I wrote. That's fabulous.
It was terrible. It was terrible, but I managed to get through it.
Yes, all those legal pads. I love it. And again, we're speaking with Keith McNair. Dust to Dust is the name of his novel. You can find it on Amazon or really where any great books are sold. And especially now, people are really, really reading a lot. And I think people have always read a lot, but now more than ever, they're attracted to stories like mysteries, that kind of thing, for sure. And you're not a stranger to writing. Now at this point, what did you tell me the other day? You've done 6 mysteries, right? And you're children's book?
Yes, 6 other mysteries. They include, including Dust to Dust, my other books are called Split Decision, Fragmented Truths, Dancing in the Light, Carbon Residue, and Strength in Numbers. And the children's book that we spoke about is called Misery Loves Company.
I love that. Misery loves company. So you go from working those long hours, being on the stock exchange, observing human behavior, having these ideas rattle around your head and putting this all together. Do you think that really helped you kind of pull some of these stories together? Because you saw so many humans and different kinds of, I think, walks of life when you're in New York City.
Oh, no question, no question. That's why I said I was able to, the words and storylines seemed to flow better when I was writing on the train or just at lunchtime at work. I would take my legal pad and scratch a couple of pages out. At home, even though at home there were no distractions, I couldn't write at home. I guess I needed the sway of the train and the motorman yelling the next stop. I needed that to, and the passengers for surrounding me. I guess I needed that as part of the inspiration, so. That's the only place I could really write.
Did you ever think that you would, as a kid, were you into stories? Did you ever think you'd write a novel, let alone 6 and a children's book?
Not at all, Kate. To be honest, I had no formal training in writing. So basically, I was once told that if you have the idea to write, writing comes from within. And the first step is to get it down on paper. Just to get your story on the matter, just to get it down, then do an outline and, go from there. after the first novel just led to the second and the third, fourth, and fifth and sixth. So, I had no idea that it would turn into something like this. Yeah. I thought the first novel when I wrote that, the manuscript, I was ready to put it in my drawer and hide it away and say, this is going nowhere. But I reached out to a publisher and, we made a connection. So, to continue from there.
So you make the connection, you know, you start writing, the books come out, Dust to Dust is what we're specifically talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But what do the people around you say? What do your friends say when you say, oh, by the way, I'm a writer, I've written some novels?
For the most part, the response has been pretty positive. Yeah, pretty positive. I don't go out, promoting myself. Hey, I'm a big writer, And some people that know me, they look at me kind of cockeyed. Who are you? But for the most part, everything has turned positive. Yeah.
Wow. I love that. And then taking the whole idea of loving the mysteries and wrapping that in, what you've seen. What do you hope that people listening to us who get your book, and anybody who picks up your book, what are you hoping that they take away from reading specifically Dust to Dust?
Well, specifically Dust to Dust, I think I would like someone to take away the idea that adversity is just a small portion of life, and that the characters that they may know someone that has the same idea as the characters, or that someone that can relate to what the characters are going through as part something that they're dealing with in their life. So that's more the idea of what I'm trying to get across.
All right, I love that. All right, so pick it up, Dust to Dust, Keith McNair. What a pleasure, and what a prolific writer you've turned out to be. You got to take a picture. We got to see. I got to post that somewhere. You got to find those smudges. This is where it all started. I love it.
Exactly.
Oh, Keith, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, Kate, thank you. You have a great day.
All right, I wanted to give you kind of a sneak preview of his book. Like I said, you can get it on Amazon, and I'm going to kind of give you a read of it because I love mysteries. I was talking the other day about also liking like some sci-fi, but one of my favorite genres, and there's no question, is mystery. So check this out. Detective David Chandler grew up as a tough-minded, streetwise kid who in later years found that life, although cruel and cold, also was a blessing in disguise if properly traveled. Rarely setting his heart adrift, Chandler lived on an island surrounded by impenetrable field generated by his mind's eyes. I'm just like picturing that. It's impenetrable, this field. However, Chandler's life and the things that gave it sense of purpose would cause him to question his sense of right and wrong, just like Keith talked about. Finding the balance between good and evil will never go unchallenged, as one will always seek to dominate the other, for it is written that the embodiment of evil versus the physical nature of good will remain forever at war. That just gives you a little synopsis of this story of what you'll get in reading Dust to Dust. So thanks so much to everybody for listening to this show and listening to Author's Corner. Mahalo, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Pauti Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.